Well, it's so good to be with all of you this morning, especially on this Thanksgiving Sunday, even though the weather hasn't been the best this week. But I hope that you take this week and next to just have a spirit of thanksgiving, thanking God for what He has done through Jesus Christ, thanking God for your family, for your church, for your friends. Now, last week, I couldn't be here because I was preaching at the San Mateo campus. And again, it was good to see them growing and thriving. One thing that really stood out last week that I have to mention is when I arrived, none of the chairs were set up. It was around 9:50 a.m. The service was about to start at 10 a.m. None of the chairs were set up. And so some of the kids there were like, what do we do? What formation? Who's going to set up the chairs? And one of the senior members in the English ministry said to them, hey, this is your house. This is your house. Set it up the way you want. And I was observing from a distance. I was really touched by what this brother said. He said, set it up the way you want. And what this brother was ultimately doing was giving these kids ownership in the house of God. It was more than just setting up chairs for worship. You could tell because on a deeper level, for these kids to step up to the plate and take full ownership of the English ministry. And these young people were the future of the church. And on that note, I just want to say thanks to all the co-workers behind the scene in our own English ministry here in Menlo Park, who take ownership of all the different ministries, who really treat this church a little like your own home. Not complaining, but getting things done. So as a pastor, I'm forever grateful and thankful for all those behind the scenes to keep this church going. Now this morning on our Thanksgiving service, I have an important message that I want to share with you all, and that's a message on how we can move from a spirit of complaining to a spirit of thanksgiving. This week I was telling Ruth about the message that God has placed in my heart, and her eyes just were wide open, and she said, are you serious? You're really going to preach this message? Because if you know me well, and Ruth, who has lived with me for so long, I am the best complainer, all right? I'm the best complainer. I can complain about just about anything. In a past life, you could have called me Karen. I should have. Coming to America hasn't helped that as well. A lot of Americans tell me, Ben, you can just complain. You can get that upgrade. Complain, you can get that back. Complain, and you can get a new product. So it's like complaining has been on steroids ever since I've come to the US. So that's what I've been doing all my life, complaining. But in all seriousness, today I'm not only preaching this message to you as a congregation in this season, but also directly to my own heart. So I hope for myself and for you that we all start learning and start taking that shift of perspective to move from complaining to thanksgiving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this season that you have given us. We thank you that you have touched us by your word and that you continue to work in and through us. Lord, help us in this season and going forward to not have a spirit of complaint, but have a spirit of thanksgiving. For Lord, you are pleased as we give thanks for what you have done. Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray that you take away any distractions that we may have, that we may come humbly before your word. And Lord, to be open to receive what you have to say to us. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as far back as I could remember, growing up, one thing that I was always good at was complaining. I would complain to my parents about the weather, about homework, about the fact that I'm not allowed to go out with my friends to the park, complain I couldn't go out to parties, complain about my mom's cooking, how many times we needed to go to church during the week, always complaining from a young age. Now, things didn't get better as I started college, complaining to my friends about our college professors, the amount of exams that we had, class schedules, about cafeteria food. It sounds quite familiar, right? See, whatever circumstances, whatever situation, you can always find me complaining about something. When Ruth and I started dating, I remember one day she said to me, Ben, you're always complaining. It's really hard to be around you and your negativity. Now that day, it was the big reality check in my life. It was the first time someone said to me the cold hard truth, Ben, you're a complainer. Now I'm not sure about you, maybe you're in the same boat as me. You also love to complain. Maybe this morning you complained about your parents. Maybe you complained about the weather. Maybe you complained about your life. Maybe you complained about your wife, your husband, about your kids, about needing to wake up early to come to church. Maybe you're even complaining in your own heart that I'm sharing a message on complaining. Now, I won't be surprised because research shows that the average person complains 30 times per day. Now, I know complaining is not an easy challenge to overcome. In fact, many of our complaining actually seems quite reasonable, especially if our circumstances are not favorable to us or our family, especially if our situations are tough, and there's just challenges that are just too hard to overcome. I can definitely testify that many of my own situations in life growing up, and even in the recent years and seasons of my life, I think complaining is totally reasonable. However, what I've noticed and what I've felt in my heart after complaining so long is that it has only led me to unbelief. It reveals to myself and to those I hang out with that I don't fully trust in the Lord and His goodness. So today I want to set out to help us reflect on the spirit of complaining in the Israelites and look at our own human nature and hopefully help all of us to take a step forward to moving to a direction that has hearts filled with thanksgiving. Hence, from that place, being able to walk out in our full potential as children of God. Children of God who don't complain, but declare with their hearts and mouths that God is indeed faithful and true. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Numbers 11, Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 to 15. Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 to 15. I'll be reading it in the New Living Translation. Soon the people began to complain about their hardship, and the Lord heard everything they said. Then the Lord's anger blazed against them, and he sent a fire to rage among them, and he destroyed some of the people in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people screamed to Moses for help, and when he prayed to the Lord, the fire stopped. After that, the area was known as Taberah, which means the place of burning, because fire from the Lord had burned among them there. Then the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt, and the people of Israel also began to complain. "Oh, for some meat," they exclaimed. "Remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt? And we had all the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, onions, and garlic we wanted. But now our appetites are gone. All we ever see is this manna." The manna looked like small coriander seeds, and it was pale yellow like gum raisin. The people would go out and gather it from the ground. They made flour by grinding it with handmills or pounding it in mortars. Then they boiled it in a pot and made it into flat cakes. These cakes tasted like pastries baked with olive oil. The manna came down on the camp with the dew during the night. Moses heard all the families standing in the doorways of their tents whining, and the Lord became extremely angry. Moses was also very aggravated. And Moses said to the Lord, "Why are you treating me, your servant, so harshly? Have mercy on me. What did I do to deserve the burden of all these people? Did I give birth to them? Did I bring them into this world? Why did you tell me to carry them in my arms like a mother carries a nursing baby? How can I carry them to the land you swore to give their ancestors? Where am I supposed to get meat for all these people? They keep whining to me, saying, 'Give us meat to eat.' I can't carry all these people by myself. The load is far too heavy. If this is how you intended to treat me, just go ahead and kill me. Do me a favor and spare me this misery." Now, if you know the story well, God has just led the Israelites out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery. And long story short, God, through his messenger Moses, delivered them out of Egypt with countless of miracles and took them on a journey to the promised land of Canaan. But along the way, what you just read, the Israelites start to complain about Moses' leadership and God's promises. Previously, along the way, they complained about not having enough water. Now they complain about food. And so what you notice through the book of Numbers and even in the account of Exodus, there is simply no end to the grumbling of the Israelites. Families come out together from their tents simply just to whine at their circumstances. And it gets funnier because they even start recalling their past life in slavery. They say it's the good old life back in Egypt. In other accounts, it says they loved Egypt so much that they said it would have been way better if we just died back in Egypt. You see, even though the Lord was providing for their needs in their current situation, they were referring to the past. "Oh, how we long to be back in Egypt," they would declare. Instead of looking forward to Canaan, they nostalgically yearn for Egypt. Now, what's interesting is that the Israelites had this rosy retrospection of their past, even though they clearly knew deep down in their hearts that they weren't better off. Something very interesting happened on Friday night during Awana during mealtime, something I noticed is very funny. One of the Chinese brothers, I'm not sure who, brought this snack back from China. And it was some corn or millet wrap. So if you guys were here on Friday, it was like some corn or millet wrap. It was really thin. It looked like cheese slices. And everyone from a Chinese background was so excited and wanted to go grab this slice. And I had no idea what this commotion was about during mealtime. I was just looking at this thin slice and thinking, it doesn't look like much. I mean, it's not meat. It was this yellow, it was thin paper. And it literally looked like paper. And I was thinking at one point, why would people enjoy eating this thing that looks like yellow paper? Anyways, afterwards, Davina's mom, Yang Bing, she says, Ben, you know why people love this so much? She said, back in China, when they were growing up, they didn't have much to eat. So they had this corn or millet wrap. And many of them loved it because they could remember their past life. It would fill their stomachs when they were hungry back in the days. And long story short, they were also excited to eat this, and everyone was trying to grab a slice. And I was listening to this story. I was thinking, it doesn't make sense. We have rice, chicken, vegetables in the kitchen. Why are people eating this? Why are people enjoying this? And I was just literally thinking that. Erin runs past me with some in her hands, and she's like enjoying it too. Everyone was longing for this yellow piece of paper. People probably started to think of the good old days back in China. Here for the Israelites, even though God was providing for their needs, revealing miracle after miracle, like literally a cloud of glory leading and following them, the Israelites complained about their situation. And you know what this complaining does? It led to a heart of discontentment and unbelief in the Lord. And as a result, many of them could not inherit the land of Canaan. This story got me thinking throughout the week. You know, the older I get, the more I love the Israelites. Not because their stories are funny. As a kid, I used to think reading about the Israelites were the funniest thing because they would always complain and they would always see God's glory, and you would think, why would the Israelites be this stupid? But the older I get, the more I love the Israelites, because the more I examine my heart before the Lord, the more I see myself as an Israelite. I can fully relate to these Israelites. I see myself in them. Why? Because just like them, I am a constant grumbler, I'm a complainer, and I am one who has a heart of discontentment to many situations in my life. I always feel entitled. I love to play the victim card and push my responsibility elsewhere. And honestly, many times I love it because ultimately, I love my sin and I love to stay in my sin. And it feeds my self-focused, prideful heart. But let me tell you something this morning. In my journey of being a complainer, and in the complaining of the Israelites and in your own life this morning, it comes at a great cost. It comes at a great cost. And I want to tell you what these costs are. The first one is this. Complaining ignores who God is. In other words, complaining ignores the potential of God. By complaining like the Israelites, we are declaring over our own lives and in our current situation and into those around us that, hey, God wasn't strong enough to stop the thing that I'm complaining about. God wasn't smart enough to keep me out of this situation. God is not orchestrating all things in the background for my good. In other words, we start to lose awe and wonder of who God is when complaining takes place. Have you noticed something in your life? Think about the last time you complained about something. Maybe it was this morning. Seriously, stop and recall the moment that you complained. Could be about your health, your academics, your situation at college, whatever it may be, your husband, your wife. Think for a moment. Did it rob you from trusting in the powerful God? Did it rob you from trusting in the powerful God when you complained? Of course it did. Because when you open your mouth and openly declare and complain, guess who's not in the picture? God himself. The awe and wonder of God is totally left out of the picture. And friends, as Christ followers, I believe this is a direct assault upon the character of God. This is what I mean. When we complain, when we murmur and grumble in our hearts, we are ultimately bringing his character into question. One thing that we all hate in life is this. When someone questions our character, we try all our lives to build a good character of integrity, of honesty, of love in all that we do. And when someone questions our character, it's one of the most offensive things that someone can do. It hurts even more than physical harm. So can you imagine every time we open our lips and to complain, we are saying, God, I don't really believe who you say you are. I don't believe who you claim yourself to be in the Bible. God, you are not loving. God, you are not generous. God, you are not wise enough to get me out of the seasons of my life. And what you notice, bit by bit, we are trying to reverse the roles of authority. We are God. He is not. And it's a complete assault upon the character of God who loved us, who chose us as his own. That's one thing that I've started to slowly come to terms with. And honestly, it's quite sobering. Every time I choose to complain and open my lips about a situation that I'm in and it's not favorable, what I've noticed in my own heart is that I no longer really believe who God says he is. I start to believe that I know best and he doesn't. I start to question his very own existence in the universe and in my life, and it has led me to this path of destruction. And I know for many of us, we're on this path as well. And if we continue down this route, trying to take God off his rightly throne in our lives by complaining and grumbling and murmuring, this is inevitably what happens. It drains the very life out of us, which is my second point. Complaining sucks the life out of us. Complaining sucks the life out of us. In Numbers 14, turn with me to Numbers 14, verses 26 to 30. Numbers chapter 14, 26 to 30. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "How long must I put up with this wicked community and its complaints about me? Yes, I have heard the complaints the Israelites are making against me. Now tell them this, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. You will all drop dead in the wilderness because you complained against me, every one of you who is 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. You will not enter and occupy the land I sought to give you. The only exceptions will be Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun." God shares how truly serious grumbling was to him. Because of the Israelites grumbling under Moses, they were not allowed to enter the promised land. God actually called them a wicked community because he saw what was in their hearts. All of the complainers ended up dying in the desert. None of them were able to go into the promised land. This is crazy. The same people that were whining outside their tents about the Lord God were the same people who dropped dead in the wilderness. For many of us, we may not die like the Israelites in the wilderness because of our constant complaining. But this is what can happen. Complaining sucks the very life out of us. It's like poison that slowly kills us and causes us to live the life that God has not intended for us. You know, one thing I love as a pastor is that I get to observe people, especially the behavior of Christians. It's my job to understand people, to know people, so I can better minister and shepherd to people. So if you ever find me one day just looking at you and observing you, don't think I'm strange or a weirdo. I'm just doing my job. Every time I come across someone who has a spirit of complaining, I can honestly tell you that outwardly, it seriously looks like the life has been totally drained from them. It looks like they're like the walking dead. They look like zombies. Why? Because they walk around grumpy, the lack of vitality, energy, because complaining is like poison. It affects every area of their lives. Think about it. Have you ever met someone in your life full of life and vitality? Have you ever met a positive Karen? No. Think about someone in your life that just loves to complain. Are they ever smiling? Do they look like they have life or vitality? No. Because everything has been sucked out of them. Research shows that complaining rewires the brain for negativity. I once came across a lady who just loves to complain. She could complain about everything, her family, her friends, her church. She had this negative perspective on so many things in her life. One day she said to me, "Ben, I've noticed people start to avoid me." I didn't have the guts to tell her face to face because I was a junior. But I know the reason. Why? Because through her constant complaining, it rewired her heart and her mind for negativity. Everything was viewed from the lens of negativity. And because of that, bit by bit, she was being drained from the life that God has intended for her. And for us, dear friends, if we go down this route, not only will we have the very life sucked out of us, the life that God intended, but we would be deprived of our inheritance in the Lord. Just like the Israelites lost their inheritance in the land of Canaan, we will also lose our inheritance as Christians. What's our inheritance as Christians? The joy of the Holy Spirit, the peace and hope from God, every spiritual blessing that we can receive from Christ. All these things will fade away in the light of negativity and complaint. And honestly, as Christ followers, that's something I don't want to be missing out on. Because think about your Christian life. If our potential is up here, and there is so much that God has intended for us in this realm, but we're living down here as Christians, that's the worst feeling anyone can experience. All day we are stuck down here, wasted potential. May we all learn this morning to receive the life that God has intended for us, to step into the potential that He has intended, and to not be like the Israelites, to be a complaining generation, because ultimately a complaining generation was a dying generation. Third and final point. We all know that complaining comes at a great cost. So what can we do about it? In this Thanksgiving service and in the Thanksgiving season, I want to help us walk away with a practice to start learning and intentionally declare thanksgiving over our situation. The third and final point says this. Declare thanksgiving over your life. Declare thanksgiving over your life. You know, each and every morning we wake up as we go about our days, we can make a choice whether we go about complaining or declaring over every situation in life with a heart of thanksgiving. Whether we like it or not, there is power in the declaration of our words, especially the ones that we declare out loud. Proverbs says the tongue can either bring death or life. I was thinking this week in Psalm 91:2, the writer of the psalm, some scholars say that Moses wrote this psalm, and I believe he did. In Psalm 91:2, it says this, "This I declare about the Lord, He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in Him." It says, "I will say unto the Lord, I will declare unto the Lord." It doesn't say, "I will think of the Lord. I will contemplate, I will meditate upon the Lord." It states that I will declare about the Lord. There is power in our speech. There is power in our declaration. And some things, dear friends, just need to be said out loud. Often in my darkest moments, in my seasons of stress and anxiety and pressure coming from all ends, especially in the recent seasons that I'm in those times, I openly declare, "God, you are good. God, you are faithful. God, I trust in you." Even though it's hard, I can overcome the spirit of complaining and murmuring with a spirit of faith when I openly declare. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament is from the prophet Habakkuk. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. It's a classic example of someone who has overcome the spirit of complaining and has declared upon his circumstances the spirit of faith. In Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 19 says this, "Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flock die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights." Here in this passage in the Old Testament, we see one of the greatest open declarations of faith. For the prophet, he describes all the things that are happening around him and in his community in which he is part of. Before him, it's barren land. It's hard. Nothing's growing. Nothing's bearing fruit. His circumstances have not changed. The outer world and its evil and its lurking warfare. God's people remain in a time of lamentation. And maybe that's the same for you this morning. Your circumstances are not favorable. Maybe you haven't got that job. Maybe you've lost that relationship. Maybe you're struggling to bear spiritual fruit. Maybe you've lost direction in your life, in your career, in your marriage. Maybe finances are not the best. Maybe there are even people out there to get you. The prophet teaches us a very important lesson. He opens up his mouth. He declares, verse 18 to 19, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights." Even though the immediate situation was one of hardship, Habakkuk has such a relationship with God, such a trust in his provision, that he's able to rise above his fearfulness and declare, "Yet I will rejoice." You see, when we encounter the minor frustrations in life, when we encounter the inconveniences, the hardships, we have a choice and a declaration to make. Either we open our mouths to complain or whine, or we open and declare with thankfulness that, Lord, you alone are our refuge, you alone are our strength. And one lesson that the Lord has been teaching me during this season, in this season of parenting, honestly, I think parenting is one of the hardest things to do from all fronts. If for those parents out there, you know, emotionally, physically, spiritually, it can take a toll. But in this season, the Lord's been teaching me a big lesson. At the end of the night, we have this habit with Erin. We teach her to pray. And so she knows every night before we go to sleep, she has to pray. She'll say, oh, Daga, right? Daga. So we'll pray. And so we've built this habit in her, and it's normally me and Ruth praying because she can't articulate sentences yet. And so we'll pray. And honestly, many times, I'm just so tired and frustrated from the day. I'm just like, God, thank you for today. Amen. All right? And then Erin will be like, no. She has to start recounting her whole day. She has to recount all the food that she ate. She has to start speaking out loud about the friends that she made in the library, the teachers at church in Awana. And almost in this such a cute way, she's openly declaring her thankfulness to the Lord. And honestly, as a father, I just get so convicted as I listen to her. In my heart, I'm murmuring. In my heart, I'm thinking to myself, I can't wait for the girls to go to sleep so I can complain to Ruth about the day. Meanwhile, my two-year-old daughter, who can't even put on her own diaper, can learn to openly give thanks to God every night before bed. Oh Lord, I deserve to die in the wilderness like the Israelites. If my two-year-old can do that, then I must learn each and every morning and each and every night to openly declare with my mouth, yet I will rejoice. Yet I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my strength, and I must give thanks to him. So as I wrap it up this morning, I invite the worship team to come up. We learn of the grumbling of the Israelites, their everyday hardships in the wilderness. And certainly, some of their complaints are totally reasonable. The heat, the long journey by foot, and honestly, some of our own grumbling and complaining in our own seasons of life are reasonable as well. I know some of us are going through tough seasons in life. I understand that. Maybe this Thanksgiving is probably the hardest Thanksgiving you've had. Probably the worst Thanksgiving you're going to be encountering. Trust me, I've gone through some pretty tough seasons in my own life. But may we learn this morning that complaining is the language of unbelief. It robs us of our God-given potential. It sucks away the life that God has intended. This is not what we were made for. We were made for more. So may we start to take steps moving forward in our Christian life to not be grumblers, to not be complainers, people who live with a spirit of negativity, but people of God who continue to trust in the promises of God, to live to our fullest God-given potential, and people who declare each morning, God, you are alone our refuge, you are alone our strength, you are indeed faithful, you are indeed good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you that we can learn a lesson from the Israelites. And Lord, we pray that for ourselves, if any of us this morning have that spirit of complaining, Lord, that you may take away, that you may destroy that idol in our heart, the idol of complaining. And Lord, may you instill in our hearts this morning a spirit of thanksgiving to help us openly declare with our mouths that you are good, you are faithful, you alone are our refuge and strength. Lord, teach us who you are, that you are faithful, that you are indeed good, that you are indeed orchestrating all things for our good and for your glory. Lord, teach us this morning that you have given us this high potential. So let us not walk into a spirit of complaining, to have poison in our hearts, for our life to be drained from us, but to live the life that you have intended. Help us to openly declare with our mouths, this I will say unto you, that you are good, you are faithful, you are indeed true. Lord, help us this morning to be thankful, to walk in your ways, to offer up sacrifices each and every morning and each and every night that please your heart. Lord, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, let's respond.